Yes, there's some very happy parents right now. Have you ever had just one of those days where it just seemed like just wonky things were kind of going wrong? You know, just little irritants and, I don't know, like little gremlins are kind of in your life. That's been this morning here at Re3. We came in this morning and got everything going, and our main projector decided not to work today, right? And so Hank is doing his job, not very well because he couldn't fix it. But the projector's not working. And so I was hoping that would be all that would happen today, right? Until I was up here doing announcements a few moments ago, and my phone is in my back pocket, and it is blowing up. And I'm like, what? And there's something. So, I finished. I thought maybe if something's going on with the youth retreat. There's an accident. Who knows? You know, your mind kind of goes these places. I walk out, and my phone is blown up with text and screenshots. I guess we went live on Facebook. I accidentally hit a filter, and so I did the entire announcements in a top hat and sunglasses. And so you all can verify to those not here, I am not wearing sunglasses or a top hat, all right? But it's just one of those Sundays, right? So more than ever, I truly mean this. Please pray for me as I pray for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning, just to be able to come in here and just share life, to be able to laugh together, to just, to celebrate the fact that you are still God, that you are still God on the throne, and no matter what little irritants and things might happen throughout the course of our lives and our days, God, you're still God. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. Lord, we come to this morning, we ask that you just be with us this morning as we dive into again, just looking at Re3 and looking at kind of that thing that I believe makes Re3 so special in this moment in time, in this season of our life. And I pray, Lord, that we're challenged this morning to examine our own lives, to examine our own relationships and where we fit in with the relationships of our lives. Lord, we pray all these things in your holy name. Amen. So last week, we celebrated our seven-year anniversary of being a church and being Project Re3. And you know, we talked about some of the amazing things that God has done in and through Project Re3 over these last 7 years. And, you know, we kind of said, okay, well, what's the secret sauce? Like, what is that thing that's special within this group of people that are here? And it all came down to relationships. It all came down to this ability that we have to be able to come in here and no matter what goes on outside of these four walls with life and everything, we can come in here and we understand that we all have this common bond in Jesus Christ. We all have this common goal in Isaiah 58 and wanting to take this world and just make it better, to be able to go out and truly say what we're going to do, restore, rebuild, and renovate, and make the communities of our life livable again. We share in that common bond. We share in that message. We love going out and doing that, and we can come in here and share life together. And so there was so much more I wanted to say last week about relationships, and we'd still be here if I was still talking about it. And so I decided what I would do is I would just break it up into two parts. And so last week was kind of that celebration, just anniversary, you know, 7 years, and this is what God's done, and how great is this, and look at this group of people we get to share life with together. And this week's kind of a continuation of that, but it's a little bit more, let's slow down and let's kind of turn the spotlight, not just on Re3 and all the things that God's been doing, but let's look at ourselves. Let's look individually at our own hearts and our own relationships. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus said this. He said, "For where two or three are gathered as my followers, I am there with them." Why did Jesus care so much about relationships? Why did he care so much about getting people together and him being there in the midst of them? It's because he understood that if we're going to grow as people, if we're going to be productive and do the things that God has asked us to do for the kingdom, we cannot do that by ourselves. We have to be together. We can't do it alone. When the right people meet for the right reason, God shows up and the right things happen. That is what's going on at Project Re3. That is what has happened and will continue to, Lord willing, happen here at Project Re3. But we cannot do this alone. I could not have done this alone. Whatever ministry you've been involved in, whatever area of life in Project Re3, whether it's mission trips or Bible studies or whatever, you could not do that alone. But I think way too far in life, too many times in life, we go through life believing that we can do things alone, that we got this. And we believe these lies and these myths that Satan kind of puts in our brains about our ability to be able to do things by ourselves. And we can't. That's not the way we were designed. It's not the things that Jesus, the plan that he had in mind. When he went out and started ministry, what was the first thing he did? He gathered people with him to go do ministry together. He did this. He realized, I cannot do this on my own. I need a group of people. But we get fooled into believing that we can do things by ourselves. So I started thinking, okay, why is that? Well, what are some things in our own life? What are some lies maybe we've bought into from the enemy that create this mindset of, I can do this by myself? I mean, what are some things? I think the first thing is we simply don't know any better. We just kind of maybe grew up with the attitude of, I can do it by myself, pull myself up by my bootstraps. We're Americans. We can do whatever we want by ourselves. You know, that's maybe it's just that. We truly don't know any better. We've never had to work in a team or never had someone that we had to lean on or whatever it may be. So we go through life believing that we have this under control when really we don't have any control. There's this incredible story of the late, great Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was getting on a plane, and he sat down in his plane seat, and he was sitting there, and the flight attendant came up to him and said, Mr. Ali, you're going to need to buckle your seatbelt. And he just looked at her. He said, hey, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she looked at him and said, yeah, and Superman don't need a plane either. And because I think sometimes we go through life believing that we are Superman and that we don't need to take the precautions or we don't need things in our lives, people in our lives to help us get to where we need to get. I think that's one of the biggest lies we buy into, is that we just believe we can do it on our own. I think the second thing is temperament, right? Like some people would just enjoy being by themselves, and I'm an introvert, and I get that, and sometimes I like to just do things by myself and be focused on my own project or whatever, and y'all know me, I'm crazy OCD about, like, the chairs, right? I'm stupid, right? I mean, the chairs in here, and so people are like, hey, Mike, we'll help you set up chairs, and I'm like, no, I got it, and part of it is OCD, but part of it is just, I like working alone, right? I mean, that's just what it is. But the problem is that when we fall right, well, I'm just a bit of a recluse, or I'm just an introvert, or I like to work by myself, all of those things are not an excuse for you to be a jerk, right? If people want to help you, if people want to come into your life, that is what God intended. And so no matter what your temperament may be, as far as like, I like to work alone, I don't really, you know, it doesn't matter. God created us to have this core desire to have people around us, and it's okay to let some people in every once in a while so that they can help you do some things. The other thing I think is fear, right? People, let's be honest, they have a fear of groups. They have a fear of meeting new people. They have a fear of these things. So they're just like, you know what? I'll just kind of keep to myself. I don't need to really meet new people or know new people. I don't need people. It's because we're scared of what may happen. And I think we're scared because of one of the other things that happened is our past experiences. You know, you had someone hurt you in church. You know, a lot of people are not in church because they've had bad church experiences, because someone in church has hurt them emotionally, physically, mentally. And they're like, I don't want to get involved in church people again. I don't want to be around Christians because I tried that one time and I got hurt. How many people, you know, had really terrible marriages, and their marriages ended just, and it was just a horrible experience for them. And they refuse to try to reach out again and find someone else or spend that time with their life because they just project everything. Well, I had a bad marriage once. I'm going to have another one. I can't do this again. And they miss out on this blessing that God may give them, this other spouse, this new family, because we look at our past. And I think the last thing is, and this is probably the stupidest, is we're too busy, right? Well, I'm too busy to make new friends. I'm too busy to give time to someone. You know, we're maybe this is like you. Sometimes I'm driving down the road and somebody will just kind of pop in my mind. And I'm like, oh, I should really give them a call. And then like 3 weeks later goes by, and then I'm like, oh, I never did call them, you know? It's because we get so busy and we get so caught up in things. Is that our life now? That we have 24 hours in a day, and every minute of our day is so busy and so scheduled, we can't stop just to check in with the people that God may lay on our hearts and our minds, friends of ours, friends that maybe we haven't seen in a while because of COVID, and maybe they haven't been at church, or maybe they've been here or there or whatever, and maybe God just says, look, I need you to reach out to them. Like, you're their friend. They consider you their friend. Like if God's laying somebody on our heart, we should do that. But instead, you know what? I'm too busy. I don't have time for that right now. So there's a whole list of excuses and reasons why we tend to walk alone. And none of them are okay. Absolutely none of them are biblical excuses. Romans 12:5 says this, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. I want you to do something right now. I want you to turn to the person next to you. And if you're married, you can do this, kids, whatever. I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to say, you need me, okay? And I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to say this. I want you to say, I need you. And I'm telling you. Some of you married couples, this is the most intimacy you've had in a month, right? I can see it, right? Yeah, some spouses are laughing, right? Like, I don't really need you, you know? But it is, if you believe the scriptures, if you believe what Paul is writing there in Romans, he says, look, we belong to one another. We need one another. I need you and you need me. But unfortunately, we look at our lives, and if you're really honest, you look at your relationships, and I hear this over and over again from people, and I've heard it for the 25 years I've been doing ministry. Mike, I just can't find a friend. I just can't find someone that I'm really close to. I can't find someone that I can confide in. Like, I want to meet somebody. I want to have that person to share life with, and I can't ever get past just the superficial stuff. Like, I want to go deeper, and I can't. I just can't find that person. The easy answer may be, well, maybe you're just not looking in the right places, right? But if we're really honest, maybe it's you. Maybe the reason you can't find someone close and you can't find a friend and you can't get deeper with someone is because you won't allow it. Because you're the one that's kind of keeping people at arm's length. Maybe people have tried to get close. Maybe people have tried to be friends. Maybe they've asked you out and done things. And because of any of the excuses that we just gave, from busyness to fear to past experiences, whatever, we're the ones that are keeping people away. Maybe it's not so much them as it is us. When I first got in the ministry way back in 1996, I had finished college, and my first job was an internship working in the children's ministry at Calvary Baptist in Winston, which is a very large Baptist church there, off Peace Haven Road there in Winston. And they hire every summer, at least they used to, you know, 7 or 8 or 10 interns. And they would, some interns, some of us worked in the children's ministry, some would work in youth ministry, you know, various other parts of the church. And we were basically just cheap labor, right? I mean, that's what they hired us for. But it was good experience. And so what happened when we finally all got together and we kind of started going through training, they introduced me to something I had never even heard of before, and that was a personality test. And the personality test that they ran at that time, and maybe they still do or don't, it was called Myers-Briggs. And maybe for some of you, you know this, you've taken the test. It's basically this personality typing type test and system that it is kind of, it peers into your soul and says, look, some people are just wired in a certain way, and this is how they're wired. Some people are introverts, some are extroverts, some are thinkers, some are feelers, or whatever it may be. And so you end up with like four letters, and those are your letters, and they each mean something, and that's it. I remember taking that test. Initially, I was starting to take that test, and I was extremely skeptical. I'm just like, what is this test going to tell? Like this is just baloney. And I took it, and then we started going over the results, and I was like, how did they see into my soul? Like, all of a sudden, it was like all these dots started to be connected to my life, and I'm like, that's why I am what I am. Like, this, that's why I think this way. Like, yes, this is it. And so since then, man, for 25 years, I have just been fascinated with personality typing. You know, whether it's the Myers-Briggs or it's DISC or it's the Enneagram. You know, all of those things have value, and all of those things open up and will show you a window to your soul that you normally maybe wouldn't see on your own. But there's actually one that focuses on a window. And the name of it is the Johari Window. And as you look at this personality type, it basically sees your life as a big window that has four panes in it. And all of us have kind of these same four panes. And it's which window pane are you looking through that affects that current relationship that you're wanting to have? So, for example, one window pane, maybe with your spouse, is the one that's like the most clear. Right? Like that's the one that they can see you see them, they you kind of have all this. The other one may be a little bit murkier, it may be something else. And it just has these different levels of intimacy and different ways that we see ourselves or others see us through this window. And so the great thing about this is when you look over this Johari window and look at the four different aspects, I don't know if they meant for it to be this way or not, but it is extremely biblically based and the way that God designed us to be as people. The four window panes that you have here in the Johari window is you have your open and public arena, you have your blind spots, you have your mask, and you kind of have the unknown, you know. And so what I want us to do this morning is just kind of like pause for a second. And I'm going to go over these four because I think all of us fall into one of these four categories with every single person that you have contact with in your life. Maybe it's with your spouse, maybe it's with your kids, maybe it's with your coworker, maybe it's with your parent, maybe it's with someone that you're sitting here at church with right now. But all of us, every single one of these four panes, we look through and we have a relationship with every person in our life through one of these four panes. And I'll explain what I mean. The first pane that they talk about here in this Johari window is the public arena. And what the public arena says is this. It says, I know and you know, okay? But what that means is I'm only going to let you know what I want you to know, and you're only going to know what I let you know. To put it into modern day terms, it's Instagram, right? It's Facebook. It's what am I going to put it out? What edited version and sanitized version of my life am I going to put out for the general population to see? Because I know what I'm showing them, and they know what they're seeing, and that's as far as I'm going to get. Is that public arena mindset. This is how much I'm going to open up, this little, and this is what they're going to see. But the problem with that is that we need people to see deeper than that. We need people to see us deeper than what we put on Instagram and social media and the cleaned up, edited versions of our lives. We need people to go a lot deeper than what we're showing them out there in the world. 1 Corinthians 2 says this, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except a man's spirit within him?" Look, we're all going to have that bad day. Every single one of us is going to have that day where you lose a job, where you get some test results back that you weren't expecting, that unexpected bill shows up, you're waiting through surgery, the loss of a loved one, your spouse that walked out on you. Every single one of us is going to have to deal with a bad day like that, probably multiple bad days throughout the course of our lives. When we only let people see an inch deep into our lives, when we only allow people to see the social media side of our lives, then there's no one there to walk alongside of us when we're having these bad days. There's no one there to help pick us up, to know our inner spirit, to know the pain and the frustration and the hurt that we're going through. We need those people in our lives. The second thing that we do is our mask. That's the second window pane that we can look at. This says, I know, but you don't. So just like the open arena says, you know what? I know what I'm showing you. And you say, well, I know how much you're showing me. And we kind of get this inch deep type relationship. What a mask says is I know what I'm hiding behind this mask and you don't. Because what I'm hiding behind this mask, you don't want to see. And what I'm hiding behind this mask, I'm too embarrassed for you to see. 2 Corinthians again says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open. That is Paul writing about the church of Corinthians saying, look, this is what life should look like. That we refuse to live our lives behind masks. We want to live our lives out in the open. So that people can see truly what we're about. And the reason that the enemy doesn't want us to get out from behind our mask is because he understands the minute that we start to kind of shine light and reveal, these are my struggles, these are my fears, these are my sins, that all of a sudden his control of us, that fear, what if people find out? What are people going to think about you? All of that starts to evaporate and goes away. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. James writes, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We all need accountability. We all need people to look over our souls, to be watchers of our souls, to be able to see that thing in our life, that pain, to be able to let people in. So that we don't have to struggle with this sin. We don't have to struggle behind a mask. We don't have to struggle with lies. We are very, very blessed, my family is. We have some amazing next-door neighbors, and you guys know them. They come here, the Durhams. Dave and Megan Durham, they're great. When Beth and I moved in the neighborhood that we live in now, we've moved in 11 years ago. And we moved in, it was just our house, and there was like three at the end of the cul-de-sac, and everything else was woods. And now there's like, I don't know, 20-some homes, all the lots have been built up, everyone's there. And the guy who developed the whole development, he and his wife just moved out like 2 weeks ago. And so when he moved out, it meant that Beth and I were now the longest running oldest people in the neighborhood, right? Like we've been there the longest. And Dave and Megan are second. And so they built their house like a year after we built ours. And so we've had this long relationship now for almost 10 years. And over that 10 years, I can't tell you how many times they've gone on vacation or we've been on vacation. And all we do is just say, hey, can you watch after our house while we're gone? And they come and they feed our cats or dogs and we go feed their dogs or we watch after things. Or if we're gone for a prolonged amount of time, Dave will come over and mow my yard or I'll go mow his. I mean, we just have this we're going to watch after one another. Like we have that kind of relationship that's close. We need a neighborhood watch for our souls. We need people that we can trust, that we can say, look, this is what I'm going through. This is, I'm laying it out here on the line. I need you to see my soul for what it is. I need you to know that I'm struggling with this sin or I'm struggling with this temptation or this is what I'm feeling, this fear that's overwhelming or this is causing me this anxiety. Whatever it may be, we need those people in our lives that we can kind of let in, that we can trust with our souls, that can serve as that neighborhood watch for our lives, that can look into us and speak life into us. So we have this open arena, the arena that we show people in public. Well, we have the mask, which is, I'm going to show you just enough what I want to show, but I'm going to hide behind the rest of it. The third window is this, is our blind spots. The blind spots. The blind spot says, I don't know, but you do. I can't see the blind spots in my life, but I'm sure that you can see the blind spots in my life. We all have them, right? Like a blind spot this morning was my top hat and glasses. Who knew that I was sporting those this morning? And luckily, we have such loving and gracious people watching online. They were quick to tell me and laugh at me, right? But we do that. There's our blind spots. We can't see if we have spinach in our teeth. We can't see if we have a booger in our nose. I mean, we need those type of people who will look at us and say, look, you really need to go do something about that. Like that, and that's it. Like there's people who see blind spots in us that we cannot see in ourselves. And the reason that we need people to see our blind spots is because Satan will custom make your failures. For every single one of us, our failures are custom made. Because Satan knows that what affects me is not going to affect you, and what affects you is not going to affect her. What affects her is not going to affect him. And so he comes right after us. And the problem is, we're always looking for Satan. We're in this, like, with horns and a red suit, and that's not him at all. Is he sneaks in our blind spots, what we can't see. And that's where he gets us. But luckily, we should be able to surround ourselves with people who lovingly and caringly will look after our lives and say, Mike, you know what? That's a big blind spot for you. Like, I'm watching that side of you. I want that to be, you know, like seen. To put it in football terms, maybe, a lot of you have seen the movie The Blind Side. You know, the blind side defines that quarterback side that he's not seen. You know, if you're a right-handed quarterback and you're turning this way, your back is left exposed. And so you have to have that guard around your backside so the quarterback doesn't get hit. You know, that's who the quarterback loves and trusts the most. And that's what we need in life. We need that guard. We need that person that says, you know what? I know you're going forward. I know you're doing some great stuff, but you need someone to help watch your back. You need someone to watch that blind side or that blind spot in your life. And we need people that we trust enough that they will speak into us about that blind spot. You can't just let anybody there. Some people aren't there to help you. Let's be honest. I love this proverb. It says, we read this last month when we were doing our Proverbs. Proverbs 27:6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. And what that means is this, is that you have a friend that's so close that what they have to tell you, you may not want to hear it, but you can trust them because you know that they have your best interest in mind, that they love you and they want the best from you. And it may wound your heart. It may embarrass you a little bit. You may feel like, man, why didn't I see that? But you can't see everything. We can't see everything. We can't read people's minds. We can't see people's intentions all around us. We have to trust that God's going to put people in our lives to see those blind spots, that will graciously and lovingly point those out to us and say, you know what? I got this. But we have to acknowledge that we have blind spots. We have to be the ones. And this is where this morning kind of the spotlight gets on you. Like, you have to recognize that you don't have it all together. You don't have everything all figured out. That maybe as a parent, you're not parenting the way that you should or could or the best of your ability. So you need other parents to kind of speak into you. Maybe as a marriage, as a couple. You know, there's those couples sometimes, and Beth and I will go out with them, and it's like we go home and we're like, how are they even still married? You know, it's like they're just snippy with each other and just sarcastic and mean with each other like all night long. And we're like, oh my gosh, you know? And it's like, are we close enough that I can kind of speak this into the husband to be like, look, you're kind of a jerk to your wife, right? Like, or maybe Beth can speak into the wife and be like, you know what? You're kind of a nag to your husband. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, we've had to have those people speak into us. There's times when you know, as a dad, I've like lost it with my kids or yelled or screamed or did something. And I've had somebody be like, you know what? They're a kid. Why don't you lighten up? I'm like, you're right, you know? Like, we need those people to speak into our lives, people that we can trust, people to watch our blind spots. So we have one pane of glass that is what we're willing to show the world. That's our arena, right? Like, I'm going to show you what I want you to see, this edited version of my life. Then we have this other window pane that's like, you know what? I'm going to hide behind this mask. I recognize what's going on with my life, and I don't want you to see it. Then we have this other window pane that we don't have a clue. We're just going through life like la, 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 you know, and there's like things happening around us, and we need those people to kind of catch that blind spot. And then the fourth window pane is this, it's our potential. It's the unknown or the potential of what you see. What that says is this, I don't know and you don't know. Neither one of us knows, and that's okay. We all have potential to do something absolutely incredible, but we cannot do that by ourselves. We talked about that at great length last week. When the right people, right, plural, when the right people get together for the right reasons, God shows up and the right things happen. Not just one person by themselves. There's this Zambian proverb that I heard years ago that I've saved that I absolutely love. It says, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. That's truth. There's a lot of things that we can do by ourselves that we can take off and we can run with, and maybe we can get the job done faster. But if you want to go farther in life, if you want to really accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, you got to allow people in. People that you love, people that you trust. You have to go deeper than what you show on social media. You got to be able to drop your mask and actually allow someone or some group of people to be able to look into your soul so that they can kind of serve as this neighborhood watch for your soul. You got to allow people to watch your blind spots, to acknowledge that, you know what, I don't have it all together. I know there's things that about me that I need to adjust and fix and correct and character flaws, and I need people that will speak that into me. But I also need people that believe that there's potential in my life. That I don't know how much potential I have. They don't know how much potential I have, but they love me enough. We're going to run this race together. That's what makes Re3, I think, so special. Is that we don't know what we're doing, right? I mean, we don't. I planted a church in 2003, and I followed all the rules. I went to every church planting seminar I could go to. I read every church planting book. I talked to every church planting pastor. I did all of these things, and that church almost killed me. Like, I wore myself out. It drove me to a breakdown. So when God opened up the door at Project Re3 and was like, all right, we're going to do this again. I mean, that was one of my things. I was like, God, I'm not doing everything I did last time. And God was like, I didn't tell you to do all last time. Because I tried to do it all on my own. I thought if I ran faster, I could do this. I didn't need people. It's my vision, my dream. I'm going to do that, you know, kind of the and it gets twisted. Where, I mean, I've heard talks and there's been books about it, where Jesus, you know, his whole thing was like, hey, come follow me. And then they just followed him, right? And like, he was kind of the lead dog and everyone else just kind of went. No, that's not what he preached though. What he preached was we're all in this together. We're going to share life together. If we're going to move forward with ministry, we're going to move forward together. So when we started Re3, people would come to me and say, hey, you know what, Mike, what if we did this? I'm like, man, if you want to do it, go for it. Let's just do it. Let's give it a try. And we've had a lot of success. We've had a lot of duds. But you know what? We're here. This church has already lasted a lot longer than my last church plant, right? And I'm a lot healthier and happier, I believe, than I was then. And I'm doing a lot less work because I don't have to carry it all on my shoulders because we carry it together. We are running far together. And it's because of relationships. But what I want you to ask yourself this morning, as you look around this room, as you go home and look at your spouse or look at your kids or you go to work and look at the people you work with, what are they seeing? What are you allowing them to see in your life? Are you allowing them just to see the inch deep Instagram, social media you, and that's all they know? Are you hiding behind a mask? Because you know what? You know, if they really knew the real me, they wouldn't love me. How do you know? Maybe they will love you more. You know? That's part of Isaiah 58. One of the top verses in that whole passage is we will take the rubble of past lives and build something new. The only way that you can build something new out of the rubble of past lives is if you let people know that you have rubble to be built from. That this is where I was at. This is what God's been doing. He's rebuilding me, and he can rebuild you too. Maybe for some of you, you need to admit that you have a blind spot. Maybe it's a blind spot in your marriage. Maybe it's a blind spot in parenting. Maybe it's a blind spot in your job. Maybe it's a blind spot in your spiritual life. And you need someone or some group of people in your life to help hold you accountable and to be there to speak life into you and watch that and to give you those wounds from a friend that are loving and caring. Maybe you need to let the people in your life that just want to be with you. That they don't know your potential, but they just know you have it. That they just want to come alongside and be part of this. I thought it was great. The youth went on a youth retreat this past weekend, and they're coming back now. And because of scheduling and various things, none of our girls went, right? It was just the guys. And so there's like literally a cabin full of guys right now up there. But Quentin had already got some lady volunteers. And so it ended up being, it was Beth, and it was Jennifer, and it was Leslie. And then, but there's no girls for them to chaperone. So they were like, woohoo, right? They're like, yeah. So like those three have been texting all week about, this is where we're going to go. What do we want to do? What do we, you know, and planning all this kind of stuff. And, you know, Leslie was not responding really. And so I saw Quentin on Friday, and I was like, hey, you know, what does Leslie want to do, you know, with their girls' day and weekend or whatever? And he said, you know what? Leslie just likes being. She just wants to be. She just wants to be with people. She don't care what they do. She just loves just being there. And I just thought about myself, and I felt really convicted because I think in my own life, I don't enjoy enough just being around people that I enjoy, just being there. It's like we always have to be thinking about what's next or this or that or what else I could be doing or what we should be doing or all of these things. And there's just beauty in just being. And that's kind of where that potential comes in, that we can just be with one another and allow God to kind of raise that potential up in all of us in that group. Jesus said it. He said, look, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Jesus' desire is that we become friends with him and with each other. That is when life happens. That is when we move forward. That is when we move farther. That is why Project Re3 is what it is, because we found a group of people that are willing at times to take off your mask. You're willing at times to take away the inch deep social media edited you and say, this is really me. You're willing at times to say, you know what, I have blind spots and I need people to point that out. And you're willing at times to get together in a group and allow that potential God to do something great in your lives. What if it happened all the time? What if it wasn't just sometimes here and sometimes there? How much healthier and how much better would your marriage be? How much healthier and better would your relationship with your kids be? How much better and stronger would even our relationships with one another here at Project Re3 be? If we came in and we were no longer an inch deep, if we came in and the masks were gone, if we came in and we had people watching our blind sides so the devil wasn't able to attack us as much as he was, what if we came in and just said, you know what? We don't know what God's going to do the next 7 years, but man, look at what he did the last seven and we didn't even know what we were doing. And man, I can't wait to see where he takes us. Like just this untapped potential. Because we're happy just being in his presence and being with one another. Amen. Relationships are not something that Jesus says we need. It is built into our core desire. God said in Genesis 2, it is not good for man to be alone. And it's not. We can run farther and go farther with one another than we ever can by ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for relationships. I thank you for the people who are in our lives that pick us up when we fall, that encourage us when we want to step out in faith, that refuse to accept the superficial and continue to try to dig and dive deeper. For the people who say, look, I'm your rear guard. I've got your back. God, thank you for those people. But Lord, help us to realize that if we're lacking in any of those areas, maybe it's not because of the people we're interacting with. Maybe it's because of the person they're interacting with. Maybe it's us. Maybe it truly is not you, but me. Lord, give us the courage to take off our mask. Give us the ability to, get rid of the edited, sanitized life that we want to portray to the world. Allow us to accept our blind spots and to allow those people who love us and care about us and have our best interests in mind to watch our backs. And Lord, for this potential that every single one of us have, for this great unknown of where you're going to take us next, let us be content with just being together as that potential is seen. Lord, we pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.